Joshua. So I'm very grateful to Elizabeth who put this card together using her artistic gifts. And I thought this is really good. And actually it would be good this morning just to go through it and to help us to understand the meaning of Christmas. But I think it's the meaning of Christmas that actually gives meaning in our lives. And it's so important to have meaning in our lives, isn't it? We have to have meaning in our lives from somewhere. We will seek it somewhere. It just depends whether that meaning is actually going to be reliable and true. As Christians, we do believe that the place where we can really find that meaning is in Christ himself. And therefore, that's why his birth into this world is something which is so important. Also, this can be something to pass on to someone else, to share with them the meaning of Christmas. So we're not just thinking of something historical and something nice that happened 2,000 years ago. It's so relevant for us today. And so it says on this little leaflet, the birth of Jesus Christ was recorded for us around 2,000 years ago and foretold hundreds of years before that. It will never cease to be the most incredible story, even today, because of the significance it holds for every one of us. And when we think about the story of Jesus, and it says here that it's been recorded for us, well, where has it been recorded for us? It's been recorded for us in the Bible. And that might be the first stumbling block for many people. Oh, can we really believe what the Bible says today in the scientific and modern world? And many people have dismissed it without really reading it. But it's actually very interesting that many other classics and works, like, for example, the Iliad or Caesar's Gallic Wars, the Bible is far more reliable from a historical point of view, with far many more copies than these other works that we assume are more or less reliable. I think we've got every reason for taking the Bible seriously. Also, in this same Bible, we get amazing predictions of the birth of someone whom the Jewish people called the Messiah, the Anointed One, someone who was going to come and bring salvation. A salvation that the people at the time didn't really quite understand the nature of, because they thought very much it was going to be a deliverance from Roman oppression. But nevertheless, Jesus aligned with these predictions, these prophecies in the Old Testament in an amazing way. One of them being in Isaiah 7, verse 14, that we've alluded to quite a bit this morning already. The Lord himself will give you a sign. He is a sign to something, pointing to something more. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. It's amazing that there are predictions about the coming of Christ given hundreds, even thousands of years before it happened. And these predictions are not just like fortune telling or some sort of idea, something that might happen. They were very much authoritative, first of all, that this is what God says is going to happen. And secondly, we can see historically in many ways that these things were fulfilled. Well, let's just read on a bit. Right from the beginning, human beings made in the image of their heavenly Father have been separated from him because of their disobedience and rebellion. knowing this was going to happen. God's redemptive plan would require sending his son to the earth. And so it was that in God's timing, thousands of years later, a baby boy was born in the town of Bethlehem. Miraculously conceived in a virgin teenager called Mary. And in fields nearby, an angel announced his birth to shepherds, followed by a vast crowd of angels praising God. Wise men from a distant eastern land followed his star, and finding his home, brought Jesus the symbolic gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It says at the beginning of this leaflet that it is the most incredible story because it holds such significance for us today. And it clearly held a lot of significance for the kings as well in bringing those three gifts. The reason why it holds such significance is the question of who Jesus is and what he came to do. And it seems, amazingly, perhaps in ways that, well, I don't really understand, but these kings from the east, which would have been modern-day Iran type of area, had an idea of who this king, this Messiah king, was and what he was going to do. They gave him a gift of gold, which indicated his kingship. Of course, they bowed down to him. They were very wise men of a kingly nature, and yet they bowed prostrate before this little baby. Secondly, they gave him a gift of frankincense, which seems to be a strange gift to give to a baby. But again, it seems that it has significance, that it indicates that somehow he was going to have a priestly role, a priest being someone who mediates between human beings and God, that in some way he was going to bring a reconciliation as a priest. Whether they full understood how that was going to happen through his death and resurrection, perhaps not, but nevertheless, recognizing him as a priestly figure. And thirdly, and most strangely, they gave him the gift of myrrh, a gift with which you actually embalm a dead body. It seems also that they had some sort of inclination that this one to whom they came and bowed down prostrate would be one who would die in a particular way. The Bible tells us that this one, Jesus Christ, he was one who was fully man and yet fully God. He grew up on this earth. He ministered to many through his amazing teaching and his healings, showing compassion to many, setting people free from their afflictions, obedient to his heavenly Father in all that he did. And yet, at the young age of 33, he offered up his life on a cruel Roman cross. And actually, when we read the Bible very carefully, we realize that he did that voluntarily. He could have avoided it. He became the sinless sacrifice for our sins in order to win a salvation and redemption for each one of us, each one of us who put our faith in him. If this is true, it gives tremendous meaning and purpose to our lives, because it means that through him that we can be reconciled with the God who created us, through the one who is the King who became flesh, the one who is our mediator, who is a priest, who stands between us and God and is able to reconcile us, the one who died for our sins in order that our sins might be taken, that we might have a new life in him. And I pray that we will really grasp and understand the meaning of who Christ is and what he came to do when he came down to earth, and how that can completely change our lives for good, because it's good news, and give us a focus and a meaning in our lives. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, for family. We thank you for children. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for presents. We do pray, Heavenly Father, for each person, each family here today, that we would really have a blessed day, Lord, a family time. But help us, Heavenly Father, at the same time, to appreciate, to grasp, and to understand the most indescribable gift, the gift of Jesus Christ himself, described in the Bible as the free gift of God. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Heavenly Father, I also want to pray, Lord, for our country today, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, in the unease and all the political currents that are swirling around these days, O Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to find the peace that is in Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we pray once more for our leaders, that you'll give them wisdom and guidance. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.